Good morning, Angela here with Springs of Zion podcast. And today, I wasn't expecting a word so quickly, but today I want to come on here and share a little excitement. And this word today is entitled God's Grip. But before we begin, I need to pray. Father God, please cover this podcast message today with your heavenly protection to open ears, eyes, and hearts as I share your word, and that your spirit leads this time. Allow each one listening to respond for your sake. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So I'm pretty excited. I didn't expect the Lord to move so quickly, but I feel an urgency, and that means somebody out there really needs to hear this. And let's just get started. The first thing the Spirit of the Lord shared, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19. Do not quench the Spirit. So many of us are great thinkers, but the Lord is asking his believers to stop thinking and let their spirit arise. The voice of the Spirit builds faith. We're told this in Acts chapter 15. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Our faith makes us whole. When we're linked to God through faith, we can walk in peace, be calm, and have harmony by trusting God. However, the enemy sure loves to fragment us, doesn't he? This is the opposite of wholeness. Any place in our life in which we don't have peace is a place the enemy has broken to pieces. These places need our attention, and this is where our faith is actually absent or fragmented. How do we fix our fragmented faith? We must read his word, trust the Lord from the bottom of our hearts, stop trying to figure everything out for ourselves. We wait and listen for God's voice in everything and everywhere we go. We stop sulking under his discipline and begin to love his correction, just like we're told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 12. In fact, it's our childlike faith, trusting the Lord and the coming shift with supernatural faith, that will bind up our wounds and make his word come alive to each one of us. His healing balm of wine and oil is poured into each and every one of us. And this is his Church of Ecclesia. It starts with our faith. So I know we talk about faith all the time, and it's like, what is it really? How does it look to walk out in faith? Well, let me share. My first experience of trusting the Lord, and this was, probably 16 or 17 years ago, the Lord started speaking to me, and I didn't trust the voice. I also heard from the enemy, and the reason I heard from the enemy so much was because I had things within my spirit, within my soul, that needed healing. During my eldest son's junior year in high school, one of his most dear friends committed suicide. We had a very small community we lived in. I think there were 42 kids in my son's class. And today we know that suicide is a demonic assignment. I didn't know that then. And had we known, we may have been able to help. But God knew. God knew Austin's death would change and turn hearts. I was new to hearing the Spirit of the Lord, and I was being trained up. Each morning as I made my boys breakfast before school, I could hear inside my head, go tell Clara it's not her fault. And Austin dearly loved her. She was his aunt, and he had come to live with her, so he was even new to the school. Over and over again, every day, for a couple of weeks, the Lord kept saying, go tell Clara. It's not her fault, and Austin dearly loved her. It would literally bring me to tears. I kept saying, God, who am I to approach this woman? I don't know her. And then quietly one day, as I actually thought, oh, geez, maybe I should do this, I heard, she isn't sleeping. Go today. So you can imagine this battle raged within me. I did not feel worthy to speak to this woman. I did not know her. She had a coffee shack in our town, and I would visit it frequently, and she was super bubbly. And her nephew and my son were dear friends. I mean, this was heartbreaking to me that this happened. And it changed my son. He was no longer just a 17-year-old boy. He became a man that day. The school let the kids out when the news was told that Austin had shot himself in the bathroom of his aunt's house. All the kids came to my house. Thankfully, at that time, I had a job where I worked from home. 17 kids, my son's little group of girls and boys, showed up at my house. And I ordered pizza, and they talked about Austin, and it was life-changing. So, as you can imagine, it took me weeks to find the courage to drive up to her coffee shack, order coffee, and give her the message from God. I wasn't brave enough to stick around, nor was I brave enough to pray for her. But I did relay the message, and I prayed earnestly. I cried for this aunt for a long time. So now we fast forward a year to my son's graduation day. And there's Austin on this huge graduation screen, and he's hugging my son from the back. They were great track friends. They were great friends. And he was just a bubbly kid, and everybody loved him. Austin was one of those bright lights. It was just a shocking moment for me to see that the students had agreed and come together to put Austin up on the screen. And his light just flooded into the auditorium. It was felt by everyone. Austin was the kid that always came alongside the classmates in their struggles. He would make them laugh and he would encourage them. There wasn't a single person who didn't have a tear. It was a perfect tribute, in my opinion. When graduation concluded, everybody filtered out, and there was a big field, and all the parents would gather around the students and take pictures, and here comes Claire. My heart started racing. I had not spoke to her. I had not stopped at her coffee shop unless I saw her. I was such a coward. Unless I saw her car wasn't there, I would buy coffee because I did feel like I wanted to support her business. So here comes Claire with this huge smile on her face. And she was not a small woman. She said, Angela, I have been looking for you. Why haven't you come to see me? And I could not contain my tears. I said, I'm so sorry. I wanted to, but I couldn't. I could feel your pain. She said, do you know, after that day, I hadn't slept for 2 months. And when you showed up ordering that coffee that day and telling me that Austin did not blame me, I slept. I was able to sleep, Angela. I never dreamed about him killing himself in my bathroom again. I was overwhelmed because up to this point, I felt a little crazy. I mean, that message and taking it to someone I barely knew was overwhelming to me. She grabs me and hugs me and says, thank you for being obedient to God. God sent his word, and Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are told that we are Jesus' hands, feet, and mouth, right? We have the, if we have enough faith, we heal others. I was his hands, his feet, and his voice that day to carry the weight of God's mercy and faith for Claire's healing. These two ingredients are essential to enter God's glory in the coming revival. We must have faith, and God gives us his mercy. The revival of the Spirit is about to invade every governing believer's body today to flow with Holy Spirit water. It's going to pour into you through his flowing Spirit. These waters are going to change you. This is what's coming. This is God's glory cloud. This is us getting on the train and coming into agreement. Last week, my husband baptized his best friend in our river out front. We have been praying for this moment for nearly 30 years. Be encouraged. Many of our prayers are about to be answered. Believe it. Your prayers are needed and used in this hour for those just entering God's kingdom gates. This is what the well that has broke loose is all about, you guys. We shall witness much in the move or shift of God. But you and I, we got to pray it to come forward. We have to speak it forward. Just like God spoke earth into being, we have to speak God's prayers out loud. These last years have been for our refinement. The pandemic has really shifted our faith. This level that we are all coming into an agreement with really freaks out the enemy. That's why we're all being sifted and we're suffering and we have trials. And I mean, it's just hilarious to me. Day after day, some weird thing that comes through and I have to battle up, face it, go after it. And then it just dissolves. Don't be lazy. Don't be ignorant to God's truth. We are awake. We are awake. And guess what? There's more revelation coming. The Lord said, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." 1 Corinthians 15:34. Our Father in heaven wants revival for every living soul on earth. But he is asking us right now to pray it into existence. Pray God's grip takes hold of every soul in Jesus' name. As we learn to embrace his supernatural faith, God will provide the keys to walk in the Spirit wherever you go, no matter the time of day. The Lord said, "Angela, this awakening will happen rapidly once my believers embrace it." Being aware of the reign and rule of God begins within our hearts until it reaches our minds and overtakes our souls. Hallelujah. Let's let God's shift begin today in your heart. God is planning to use our supernatural faith to release what he needs for the shift of our government, our communities, and our broken families. Let his revival begin in you today. Not one prayer will be unfruitful or unproductive. Our prayers will be filling the bowls of heaven, just like we're told in Revelation 5, verse 8. Each had a harp, each had a bowl, a gold bowl filled with incense, the prayers of God's holy people. You and I are God's holy people, regardless what the enemy says. If you know God, you are worthy of your prayers. Before entering supernatural faith, we have to receive an awareness of who God is and what he's doing in our trials and our struggles. He's using everything, good, bad, and ugly. And we need to understand and celebrate this. Our new perspective moves us into his supernatural faith. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Jesus had to do before healing the leper who dropped to his knees and said, "Lord, if you are willing, heal my body." He was begging. He showed the willingness to be made whole and really expected the healing. And Jesus said, you were cleansed and you were grateful. Meaning you have a grateful life. Not my words will bear witness to what I have done, but your actions, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions make us clean. The book of Romans chapter 14 verse 17 tells us the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We must have joy. Being grateful in our struggles brings joy. And it bends our will because it's not of our fallen nature, right? To have joy when we're being really sifted by God. And when we have joy, that is our righteousness. Righteousness is such a beautiful word, and we talk about it all the time on my podcast. In fact, I think it's written 828 times in the Bible. It's a powerful word. But that, what does it actually mean to you and me? Righteousness is a heart adjustment. I like to say when our heart is right with God, we are righteous. This is our key to experience supernatural faith, which comes with fruits of peace and joy, no matter your circumstances. In general, we can understand and desire to walk in supernatural peace and joy, but without the Holy Spirit giving us a revelation of righteousness through faith, we cannot experience it because our flesh rules us. Our Adam fallen human nature always takes the driver's seat, allowing our mind to override our spirit. Friends, we need God's grip on us. This truth ultimately pokes at my deep. I mean, I talk about this all the time, but most recently the Lord led me to Evan Roberts. I've never heard of him, and you probably haven't either. Holy Spirit has been saying, Angela, learn about him. Learn about the revival. So I did. It has ignited my spirit to read such compelling stories. Here's what I discovered about Evan Roberts. He was a very young man from Wales who was passionate for Christ. I mean passionate. He was so hungry for God, he begged God to come. He played a significant part of his country's revival. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, if you can learn about revival, it can be ignited within my believers' hearts. So I want to release this through my podcast. Evan's unquenchable thirst for Christ and his desire for freedom from sin was found in his intimacy with God. And that's all my podcast is about. Have a relationship with God. Pretty much all I ever talk about. Evan had to learn how to access God. He had to learn to humble himself to such a degree that truth came to set him free. To learn to do this, we must bend our will. Our will keeps us from freedom. And then God's anointing will come over us. Our will is in a battle to control our spirit. We have to surrender our flesh, right? Evan figured this out. He figured out that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon him and even engulfed him and those who attended his tent revivals. This was the start of Wales revival. Today, believers have a knowledge of God, which is so wonderful, but God is looking for people with his heart and his mind. We're such a smart bunch of people, aren't we? Bunch of cranials. But our spirit can arise because we think too much. As I was researching Evan Roberts, I was given a vision in my mind. We know this as walking in the Spirit. This realm is unknown to so many believers because their mind controls their thoughts, not their spirit. They're not filled continuously with the Spirit of God because their will won't allow it. I mean, it makes so much sense. This is not condemning you, those of you who are listening. This is about awareness. Now, this is not a salvation issue, not at all. This is how to enter God's kingdom realm. It's just a little too weird for some of you. Too fanatical, probably even too risky. Well, folks, that's what it takes. Get a little weird with me for a minute, will ya? The Lord is calling you now to have faith enough to receive from him. A few weeks ago, I was given a dream, and the Spirit of the Lord said, Angela, what are you waiting for? You're running out of time. He's talking about you. I need to share with you how to do this. I have been given an understanding that this glory gate, this open portal, door, whatever you want to call it, for this generation hasn't come for over 75 years. It's time. Can you visualize God's kingdom? We must visualize the kingdom before we can enter it. Over the years, I have come to understand that there are levels of faith in which each believer must have to enter and understand this sort of revelation. The Lord led me recently to Chuck Pierce. I don't know if this happens to you, but my YouTube stream, when the Holy Spirit wants me to listen to something, the very first thing was Chuck Pierce. I have not listened to him in years. He's a positive prophetic voice, and he's confirming everything what I'm saying. Because I'm new at this, I get run over by the enemy at times. And I overtalk and I overshare and all these things the enemy knows about me. But Chuck Pierce wrote a book about the levels of faith. It's called The Worship Warrior. I want to encourage you to look him up. He probably has a podcast or a YouTube channel about that book. But it's on Kindle as well. And that's the other thing the Holy Spirit does. I have a Kindle subscription, and he provides the books I need to read for free to continue this podcast for him. It amazes me, though, how many Christians, though they claim to believe the Bible and would say they believe in heavenly places, they still have a problem consciously dealing with what I'm talking about. Many, for example, take issue with any form of prayer dealing with demons, angels, invisible strongholds, spiritual warfare. Many unbelievers have an even greater problem acknowledging the spirit realm. The very suggestion that an invisible sphere is influencing the visible world, it creates mockery and skepticism, which I have already talked about on my podcast. And it interferes with anyone who believes in this realm. And then they can't enter. And they say, we're not in touch with reality. We're crazy. We are, sure. I will say it again. We're about to enter a major shift in our generation. I believe it started somewhere in May. So if you have had some really crazy things happening, your enemy does not want you to enter this shift. Keep battling. Keep going to God. Keep praising Him, putting on worship music. If you don't know what to say, just praise Him. Sing songs to Jesus. You are worthy. I don't care what the enemy says. You are chosen. You are worthy. God needs you. God needs His remnant ready for the coming harvest for this generation. There are people dying who do not know God. God has been taken out of everything in this world. God's shift comes with judgments for anyone outside, or I like to say, on the porch of the tabernacle. This does not mean we're not worthy. This means we have more refining to do. This means there are things within your life that you're not willing to give to God. You have to give it all. And then you get so much back. This is the gift God has given us. Start treating every trial as a gift and watch how your enemy flees. The warnings have gone out. Go back and read or listen to my Time to Go podcast if you missed it or if you need to listen to it again. God is looking for those who are ready and willing to sacrifice everything for His Son Jesus' sake. In order for me to approach Claire, I could not be afraid of what she thought. Even though I was scared, I did it. And it probably wasn't perfect, but look at the outcome. Are you ready for this? Could you do it? Are there people in your life that need to hear from God through you? Are there people you need to pray for but have a grudge against and you refuse to lift them up to the Lord? If we don't pray for these people, how do you expect them ever to surrender to God? If we woke up tomorrow, could you face Jesus? if we didn't wake up tomorrow. Sorry about that. Could we face Jesus? Our warning against idleness in the days that we're living can be found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 16. But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through his gospel that you might share in the glory of God, Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm, hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word, a mouth, or by a letter. May your Lord Jesus Christ himself, God our Father in heaven, who loved us, by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I just love that. 2 Thessalonians 1 through 16. So now I want to share my vision. And you can have these visions too. In fact, God is calling his people. There aren't very many of us willing to look radical and crazy like me. Step up. It's so fun and it encourages and strengthens your faith. So what I do is I just sit down on my couch. I read the Bible. And as the Bible is open, the Spirit will lead me to verses. I mean, he led me to all of this. I'm not as smart as it may sound, or doesn't sound. I don't know if it sounds smart, but I couldn't come together with all of this. So be encouraged. I'm at the beach in my vision, and I can hear the waves crashing onto the beach. On my left, there's a huge rock ledge, and it would be something you would definitely see on the coast of Wales. It's jagged. It's beautiful, but it's rugged. It's a beautiful day. The seagulls are squawking, and up ahead, I can see a gathering, a small gathering of people. There's a tent on the right and rows of white chairs with an aisle between the two rows. A setup that's similar to a wedding is what I'm thinking. As I'm standing on the beach with the waves on my right, I'm brought closer, and as I see the gathering place, there's a tent with a large table, and there's a person sitting at the head of the table with a large book in front of him. It appeared these people roaming around were setting things up, and as each person approached the head table, they signed in and immediately became dressed in these beautiful white garments. And as I'm admiring their attire, a man walks up. And I realize, because I've just learned about him, it's Evan Roberts. And he actually knows me and smiles. I admire his features. He's tall and slender. He has shoulder-length curly hair, and he's dressed with short puffy pants and a loose-fitted cotton shirt, just like you'd see someone in like the early 1900s on a sea ship. Evan directing his helpers, pointing to things and giving instructions, and then these people would rush off. There was a table on the right that looked to have jewelry on it. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "These are my signet rings." As I'm thinking about this, I turn to look behind me. And to my shock, I see thousands, maybe even millions of people walking towards Evan's tent. And then I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "They're almost here. The fire is about to start." I have waited to share this vision because I was hoping for more revelation, but I feel like just the vision itself speaks. I feel a witness, and I get the little bubbly bumps on the back of my neck and down my arms. That's my witness that this is what God has me to share today. God is saying those who had hindrances to enter his realm have fallen away. You're ready to enter. Your wrong conclusions have kept you in bondage. 2 Peter 1:9. But who does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. You're realizing your sins can't hold you back anymore. That's what the enemy had kept you in bondage for. If you've never had an encounter, you have not penetrated his second veil. It's time to stop analyzing the Word of God and make faith your first priority. Find your blockage. A friend of mine is actually getting baptized, his second pouring, because he feels the Holy Spirit's blocked by a religious spirit, so he can't hear the Spirit of the Lord.
When we become desperate and hungry for God, He moves and things begin to change and manifest in our lives so that we can hear Him. We're running out of time. His glory cloud won't hang over us forever. May I point out, you're here reading and listening to my podcast because you feel a witness. God has called you. His Spirit is saying, activate your God-given anointing. Each of us are born with the seed of God within us. Believing you're worthy is the first step. Step two is to become hungry for God. Our hunger for things above builds our faith, and our faith determines our level and power of anointing. I pray that this, you understand, this is the true ministry of Jesus Christ. I want to call out to each and every one of you that God is super proud of you. He's ready for you to come to Him, and He will place His hand on your head and say, thank you, daughter. Thank you, son. You are blessed. Take care. Bye-bye.